The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
This is a ForceCast Microcast.
Size matters not.
Brought to you by TheForce.net and RebelScum.com.
You may fire when ready.
The ForceCast presents What's New in the EU. A closer look into the Star Wars expanded universe.
Jovial J. Shepard!
Welcome to the first segment in the Beginner's Guide to the Expanded Universe. Over time, I've had many people ask me, what's the best way to get into the Star Wars Expanded Universe? In the past, I've always had a hard time putting together a thoughtful answer, so now I'm going to try to create a guideline to help out introducing new fans to the gigantic world of the Expanded Universe. But before I can do that, let's get some things straight by way of introduction. Specifically, what is the Expanded Universe? Well, simply, the Expanded Universe, or EU, is everything else in the Star Wars universe that is not the movies. And by movies, I mean the 6 theatrical releases. So that leaves books, comics, television films, television series, video games, RPGs, toys, and anything else that presents relevant facts about the galaxy far, far away, or GFFA. As the name implies, these items expand the universe created in the films. They create backstories for briefly seen characters, present events featuring main characters outside the films, and create new events and characters that exist in them. As this is the first in a series of EU segments, it's only fitting that I start with some brief explanations of some terms that fans may find as they delve into this larger worldview. If I didn't, it would be like expecting you to know the difference between the Earth 1 Superman and the Earth 2 Superman and how the Earth Prime Superboy fits into the overall mythology. Our first word today is canon. No, it's not the weapon used by pirates to blast holes in other ships, but according to Merriam-Webster, Definition 4 is an unexpected principle or rule, a criterion or standard of judgment, or a body of principles, rules, standards, or norms. Canon is the word that fans use to define the continuity of the Expanded Universe stories. As you will see in this series, continuity in the Star Wars Expanded Universe is key. The earliest reference that I can find to Star Wars canon was an interview with Lucas Licensing's Sue Rostoni and Alan Couch in issue 23 of the Star Wars Insider. They say, "Gospel, or canon, as we refer to it, includes the screenplays, the films, the radio dramas, and the novelizations. These works spin out of George Lucas's original stories. The rest are written by other writers. However, between us, we've read everything, and much of it is taken into account in the overall continuity. The entire catalog of published works comprise a vast history, with many offshoots, variations, and tangents, like any other well-developed mythology." It's interesting to note that canon was originally a term that described a regulation or dogma decreed by a church council. The Holy Trilogy indeed. This brings us to our next term, apocrypha. In Judeo-Christian theology, the term apocrypha refers to any collection of scriptural texts that fall outside the canon or church's dogma. But for EU fans, it's any story that falls outside of accepted continuity or that has been rendered moot by an official source, such as one of the films. An example of a potential piece of apocrypha would be the Star Wars Holiday Special. This is actually not as cut and dry as it sounds, and we'll explore further ramifications to this in future segments. The last word that gets used a lot, and gets used a lot more as new publications come out, is retcon. Retcon is short for retroactive continuity. What's that mean, I hear you say? Well, to retcon something is to keep the original story, but to publish details in a later source to shoehorn the initial tale into the overall continuity. An example of a notable retcon is Boba Fett's lineage. This mysterious figure, well, prior to 2002 anyway, was known in the EU as Jaster Mereel, a journeyman protector exiled from Concord Dawn. Due to Attack of the Clones giving the true lineage of Fett, a number of writers and sources retconned the Fett history to include that the Mereel name was just an alias that Fett used and Jaster was a separate individual. Lastly today, I'd like to touch on the historical notion of the EU. Since 1991 and the publication of the Zahn books, the Expanded Universe has taken a very continuity-based approach. This has led to the creation of eras. As the history of the GFFA is always being written, and as we'll see more, rewritten, new eras get added. As a quick side note, all dating of eras in the Star Wars universe come in two forms. Stories may use an in-universe dating system, but for us fans, we term everything as either before the Battle of Yavin, BBY, or after the Battle of Yavin, ABY. The current eras are as follows. The Old Republic, from 25,000 to 1,000 BBY. The Rise of the Empire, 1,000 to 0 BBY. The Rebellion, 0 to 5 ABY. The New Republic, 5 to 25 ABY. The New Jedi Order, 25 to 40 ABY. And the newest era, The Legacy of the Force, from 40 plus ABY. So we have a lot to cover in the future, but in answer to the question I get asked, where to start in the EU, I'm going to tell listeners that a great place to start is with something that should be within everyone's comfort zone, the film adaptations. These novelizations of the Star Wars saga serve as the jumping-off point for every other piece of EU literature you will read. They are EU themselves being adaptations of the film scripts, but rate as one of the highest levels of canon in the Star Wars lexicon. The original three books by George Lucas, Donald F. Glut, and James Caan don't depart too dramatically from what viewers will see on the screen. They are quick reads and do more to explain little things about the films. If I were to ask you, quick, what's the name of that planet that Luke Skywalker grew up on? I know you could answer it. How about this? It's an EU name. Yep. Tatooine was never mentioned in Star Wars. Go check it out. The reason you know that name comes from books or comics. From the EU. The Return of the Jedi story provides some nice backstory about Ben as Owen Lars's brother. Boy, can you say retcon? And a brief description of Luke building his new lightsaber, but that's about the bulk of it. Now, jump ahead 16 years to the prequel film adaptations. Remember that initial pod race between Anakin and Sebulba? The one where Anakin's racer was damaged so that he couldn't race at the Bunta Classic? How about the tale of Kleeg Lars going after his wife Shmi after she was kidnapped by Tuskens? You know, the one where he loses his leg? Or maybe you recall the heartache, the longing, the confusion that Anakin Skywalker felt during his descent to the dark side. Remember these? Well, don't feel bad if you don't. These are some of the expanded scenes and enhancements that current authors such as Terry Brooks, R.A. Salvatore, and Matthew Stover have given us.
Okay, let's put the E and the U in our super-duper computer!
The galaxy is listening.
In the last segment, I provided an introduction to the expanded universe terms and eras. You heard things like canon, apocrypha, and retcon. In this segment, I'll be sure to delve a little deeper into some explanations of terms as well as walk you through the first era. So if you recall, in the last segment, I read an excerpt from Sue Rustoni and Alan Kausch that describes canon as everything that, quote, includes the screenplays, the films, the radio dramas, and the novelizations. These works spin out of George Lucas's original stories, and the rest are written by other writers, end quote. But just how does Lucas Licensing maintain all of that data and keep track of continuity for the GFFA? Simple. The holocron. In the EU, a holocron is a Jedi, or Sith device, used to pass information on from masters to students, often many generations apart. Basically, an interactive encyclopedia for Force users. At Lucasfilm, they too have a holocron. Their holocron is an internal database maintained by Lucas Licensing for the express purpose of trying to maintain continuity within all licensed products. Leland Chi, aka Tasty Taste, is the keeper of this database and maintains four different levels of canonical information. G-level canon is absolute canon. This level comes from the mind of George Lucas himself. It includes the films, screenplays, radio adaptations, and novelizations based on the films, as well as any notes presented by Lucas. C-level canon, or continuity, refers to pretty much every piece of EU work available. S-level canon, or secondary canon, refers to the older materials that were published without the eye for continuity that we see in current publications. Finally, there is N-level canon, or non-continuity canon. This includes any blatant contradictions which are handled on a case-by-case basis. N-level, according to Mr. Chi, is rarely used. So, hopefully this will help you appreciate what Lucasfilm does to aid with the continuity of their publications. Bear this in mind as we discuss issues that arise in the various eras. And without further ado, let's get into the first of the six Star Wars eras, the Old Republic era. For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic. And with that quote, the breadth of the Old Republic era was set. From 25,000 years before to 1,000 years before the Battle of Yavin, this era has been most fruitfully explored through the comics. Starting with the earliest chronological stories, we find Tales of the Jedi, The Golden Age of the Sith, and The Fall of the Sith Empire by Kevin J. Anderson, Dario Carrasco Jr., and Mark G. Hike. The next chronological series is Tales of the Jedi, which was the first series published and just called Tales of the Jedi, but later took on the name Knights of the Old Republic, by Tom Veitch, Chris Gossett with Mike Barrero, Janine Johnson, and David Roach. Then The Freedan Nad Uprising by Tom Veitch, Tony Akins, and Dennis Rodier. Dark Lords of the Sith by Tom Veitch with Kevin Anderson, Chris Gossett with Mike Barrero and Jordy Ensign. The Sith War by Kevin J. Anderson, Dario Carrasco Jr. and Jordy Ensign, and finally Redemption by Kevin J. Anderson and Chris Gossett. These seven series give readers the history of the Jedi and the Sith, the fledgling Republic, the beginnings of the Mandalorians, and sets the stage for events that will resonate thousands of years later during the New Republic era. Besides the historical aspects of the series, readers get to focus on Gav and Jori Darragon as they get involved with the Sith Empire and face new challenges far from home. Nomi Sunrider and Ulic Kildroma are the focus of later Tales of the Jedi series, as their stories lead readers through the galactic upheavals of the Sith Return, Exar Kun's turn to the dark side, and its impact on the numerous ancient Jedi. About 22 years after the Tales of the Jedi series comes the Knights of the Old Republic series. This is one of the four current comic series in publication from Dark Horse. This series follows a fugitive Padawan, Zane Carrick, who is presumed by his masters and the Republic to have murdered his fellow Padawans on the planet of Terrace. 8 years after that come the LucasArts video games Knights of the Old Republic and Knights of the Old Republic II, The Sith Lords, which players are introduced to characters such as Darth Revan, Darth Malak, and Darth Nihilus, and explore the ranks of Jedis and Sith during these ancient times. And finally, based on a snippet of information from the Phantom Menace novelization and a line of Palpatine's dialogue from Attack of the Clones, came the reorganization of the Republic. The character of Darth Bane and his rule of two Sith Lords was invented for the Phantom Menace novelization from conversations that Terry Brooks had with Lucas. The problem with this is that multiple Sith Lords had been allowed to coexist in the Tales of the Jedi series. Then, in AOTC, when Palpatine mentions that the Republic had been around for 1,000 years, not 1,000 generations as Kenobi had first dictated back in New Hope, this caused a little problem with the continuity of the EU. So, writers hauled out their handy-dandy retcon and proceeded to get to work. Here's what they did. The Battle of Rusan was created, in which armies of the Sith and Jedi fought on the fields of Rusan to utterly destroy each other. Only Darth Bane was to survive, and he chose to reinvent the Sith Order with the Rule of Two, whereby there is always a Sith Master and an Apprentice. These stories are told in the recent and first Old Republic novel, Darth Bane, Path of Destruction by Drew Karpyshyn, and the six-issue comic series Jedi vs. Sith by Darko McCann, Ramon F. Box, and Raul Fernandez. Now, these are not the only things happening during this era, just the most prominent story-based tales. You can find out about other items of interest during this era by reading The New Essential Chronology by Daniel Wallace and Kevin J. Anderson, or by visiting any number of online fan-based timelines such as JMM's Star Wars Chronology or the TFN's Time Tales, to name a couple.
This is a Forcecast Microcast.
Welcome to the third installment of the Introduction to the Expanded Universe. This segment covers what has become in the past 7 years one of the largest growing segments of the Star Wars EU, the Rise of the Empire, also known as the prequel era. Prior to the late 90s and the Phantom Menace, this portion of the EU was considered off-limits. Obviously, Lucas had plans for this era with the prequels and didn't want authors to play with it. Technically, the classic Han Solo and Lando Calrissian books took place at the tail end of this era, but were self-contained enough to avoid any kind of spillover into the timeline. While this era is 1,000 years, not all of this era has been written about. The majority of the literature is focused in the last 46 years prior to the Battle of Yavin. This is not to say that there was nothing happening during the earlier times, but it's mostly backstory snippets, possibly some short stories, or maybe the birth of a major character or two. This era also features the first and only example of the EU influencing the films. Prior to 2002, the path was always first something happens in a film, and then it gets expanded on in the EU. Suddenly, and to fans' delights, we had an expanded universe character debuting in Attack of the Clones. The story goes that George Lucas saw the cover of Dark Horse's Star Wars number 33 by John Foster, and was struck by the blue Twi'lek on the cover, Aayla Secura. He decided then to incorporate her into the Battle of Geonosis. From there, many new doors opened, and Revenge of the Sith included Secura again, plus reference to her master, Quinlan Vos, and several EU planets. Well, there's a lot to cover between comics and novels, so I'm going to get right into this list. We're going to go through this chronologically, mixing the comics and books, and starting at about 44 BBY is the Stark Hyperspace War, which tells an early Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan story from Star Wars by Dark Horse. Next, we jump to the Scholastic's Jedi Apprentice series by Jude Watson. This 20-book junior novel series tells of Obi-Wan's life at the temple prior to becoming Qui-Gon's Padawan. It introduces readers to Qui-Gon's first apprentice Xanatos and friends such as Bant and Ciri. The series is followed by a pair of short mini-series from Dark Horse, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan's Last Stand on Ord Mantell, and Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan The Ororient Express, also by Dark Horse. Jumping to 33 BBY, we find the first and only Jedi Council series, Acts of War, which is about Mace Windu, Qui-Gon, and a handful of other masters traveling to the planet of Yinchor to stop an insidious plot by the Sith. From here we start filling in the timeline. Next we find a story of Ki-Adi Mundi's ascension to the Council in Prelude to Rebellion in Star Wars by Dark Horse. This series was actually released about 6 months prior to Episode 1, giving fans a sneak peek at some of the characters and events in the prequels. Next is Darth Maul, also from Dark Horse, which introduces us to the Dark Lord of the Sith as he performs an important task for his master against the Black Sun criminal organization. The next three books serve as a lead-in to Episode 1, starting with the first Star Wars e-book, Darth Maul Saboteur, by Michael Reeves, in which Maul works his way to sway some mining company loyalties. Then the political thriller Cloak of Deception by James Luceno, which features the machinations of Palpatine towards Valorum and his fellow senators. And finally, Darth Maul Shadow Hunter, also by Michael Reeves, again with a tale of Maul attempting to silence a leak in the Trade Federation which could prevent Darth Sidious's plans from continuing. Fortunately, Maul completed his task and the Trade Federation was able to blockade the small planet of Naboo. But you already knew that, no, at least you do if you read Episode 1 The Phantom Menace by Terry Brooks, or saw a movie based on that. Following Episode 1 is a recent addition to the mythos, Outbound Flight by Timothy Zahn, detailing the ill-fated Outbound Flight project and the Jedi Master Joris Sabaoth, which was mentioned in the original Thrawn trilogy. Make sure to listen to the New Republic era segment for more on that. The next batch of stories all come from Dark Horse's Star Wars series. Both Outlander and Emissaries to Malastare focus on members of the Jedi Council and introduce Aesharad Het, the Tusken Jedi. Then we are introduced to Quinlan Vos and Aayla Secura, two regulars that will move in and out of the series up until Revenge of the Sith. Their adventures start with Twilight, move into Infinity's End, The Hunt for Aurra Sing, Darkness, and Rite of Passage. These tales introduce us to Quinn's darker side, the bounty hunter Aurra Sing, and a band of deadly Nikto Morgukai assassins. At 29 BBY, we find a new Jedi Order prequel of sorts in Rogue Planet by Greg Bear, in which Anakin and Obi-Wan travel to the sentient planet of Zenoma Saikot. The next 4 years are chronicled through the Jedi Quest series from Scholastic. Dark Horse adapted the hardcover version of Path to Truth as well, but there are also 10 books in this series about Anakin's tutelage under Obi-Wan Kenobi. Dark Horse then brings Jango Fett and Zam Wessel one-shots to help lead into the Attack of the Clones, which showcase the two bounty hunters. They also provide some backstory on the pirate Captain Nim, which is from the Episode 1 Starfighter game in Starfighter Crossbones. Dark Horse's Star Wars comic is then reborn as Republic for the first tale prior to Attack of the Clones, Honor and Duty, which tells of Sigoro Autumn, one of the Blue Senate guards, and his story. Del Rey comes back into the mix with the Episode 2 lead-in novel, The Approaching Storm, by Star Wars alum Alan Dean Foster, and then the Episode 2 Attack of the Clones novelization by R.A. Salvatore. The 3 years between Episodes 2 and 3, in which the Clone Wars were fought, took place in near real time in the expanded universe. Most stories were published in order and tied together to form a larger story of the Clone Wars. It starts out with Scholastic's Boba Fett series, 6 books that help Boba step into the larger universe as he figures out how to fill his father's shoes. Then there's Karen Travis's Republic Commando Hard Contact, chronicling Omega Squad and a spin-off from the LucasArts video game of the same name. Then the Mace Windu Heart of Darkness story called Shatterpoint by Matthew Stover and the Legacy of the Jedi, which tells of Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Dooku as apprentices in the Jedi Temple. Dark Horse continued their unfolding of the Clone Wars throughout the Republic series, the Jedi one-shots, which feature Mace Windu, Shaak-Ti, Aayla Secura, Yoda, and Dooku, as yes, he was a Jedi, and the expansion of the Tartakovsky animated style in the Clone Wars adventures. The second year of the Clone Wars brings us The Cestus Deception by Stephen Barnes and its companion ebook, The Hive, about Obi-Wan's battles on Ord Cestus, and Republic Commando 000 by Karen Travis, continuing the adventures of Omega and Delta squads. These are then followed by the MedStar Duology, Battle Surgeons and Healer, by Steve Perry and Michael Reeves. They depict another side of the war from a RIMSU, which is a Republic Mobile Surgical Unit. It's kind of MASH in space. Then Jedi Trial by David Sherman and Dan Cragg, where Anakin finally gets a chance to lead a battle under Nija Halcyon. Yoda Dark Rendezvous by Sean Stewart, allowing the Jedi Master to shine while seeing the war also from Dooku's vantage point. Then there are also two more Boba Fett Jr. books and a sequel to Legacy of the Jedi called Secrets of the Jedi. Dark Horse wraps up the events with General Grievous, a mini-series showcasing Episode 3's villain, and Obsession, chronicling the final fates of Dirge and Asajj Ventress, two characters introduced specifically for the Clone Wars. The Episode 3 lead-in book is Labyrinth of Evil by James Luceno, which documents the days before Revenge of the Sith and provides details of Palpatine's abduction, although slightly different from what was shown in the third season of the Clone Wars cartoons and the Reversal of Fortune Hyperspace web strip. Then, of course, comes Revenge of the Sith by Matthew Stover and a closely related follow-up book, Dark Lord, by James Luceno. The prequel portion of this era is rounded out by the latest Scholastic series, The Last of the Jedi, which to date has 6 books and follows Obi-Wan and Ferris Olin as they navigate the dangerous post-Revenge of the Sith days. Dark Horse follows up this time frame with their newest comic series, Dark Times, which continues its tales from where Republic left off. We now have about an 8-year break in the timeline and find ourselves in the last 10 years of the era, learning about what made Han Solo's early life in The Paradise Snare and The Hutt Gambit, both by A.C. Crispin. Then learning what made Lando the shrewd gambler that we see in Episode 5 in the Lando Calrissian trilogy, all by L. Neil Smith. And finally back to some remaining Han Solo adventures in Rebel Dawn, also by A.C. Crispin, and Han's first trilogy by Brian Daley. We'll then finish out the era in the Dark Horse comics, where we find a pair of droids miniseries, a quartet of Jabba the Hutt tales collected in Jabba the Hutt, The Art of the Deal, a Boba Fett vs. Darth Vader miniseries called Enemy of the Empire, and a miniseries about a mysterious gem and the race to get it in Underworld, the Yavin Basilica. The Rebellion era was the first expanded universe era that was explored, even before it had a name. This is the era of the original trilogy, the Marvel Comics, and a current Dark Horse series. Of all the eras, this one has been mined pretty well in terms of content and completeness, but just when you think that every story has been told, a new one pops up, like Timothy Zahn's Allegiance. I've mentioned the word Apocrypha before, and that's what this era has produced for fans. If you recall, Apocrypha is any story that falls outside of accepted continuity or that has been rendered moot by an official source. Things that spring to mind are elements of Splinters of the Mind's Eye, Luke's lightsaber battle with Vader being the big one, Han's meeting with Jabba the Hutt, with only one T, in the Marvel Comics. See, he wasn't really a big slug, he was this kind of yellowy, walrusy sort of alien. Yeah. Then there's also the tale of an older Ben Kenobi during the Clone Wars, also from the Marvel series. What's interesting about the Star Wars fan in these issues is that we seem to find a way to ignore the small elements of the story and make it work in a larger established continuity. For the longest time, the entire Marvel Comics line, except for the film adaptations, was considered by most to be end-level canon or non-continuity canon. It's only in the last 10 years or so that this has turned around. Many elements of the Marvel series have crept into the established continuity. For example, Tag Co., the group operated by Baron Tag, showed up in the West End Games materials, while races such as Zeltrons are still at large in the Dark Horse comics today. Fans and the creators took a closer look at the issues and found that the internal continuity of the Marvel series was actually quite consistent. Sure, Boba Fett escaped from the Sarlacc only to fall back in at the end of the issue, and there was that weird Dark Lady of the Sith named Lumia, but hey, she's actually not so obscure as she used to be, is she? So without any further ado, I'll get into the major stories of the Rebellion era. We start chronologically with the Empire at its height in Dark Horse's Empire series. This series featured arcs on such characters as Biggs Darklighter, Lieutenant Jannik Sunbur, and several Vader and Leia stories, plus a Boba Fett one-shot. The series led into the current Dark Horse series Rebellion, where we find that Lieutenant Jannik Sunbur is actually Luke's childhood friend Tank in the My Brother, My Enemy storyline. Sprinkled throughout this era are issues known as Classic Star Wars. This is Dark Horse's term for books that were not originally published by Dark Horse, but reprinted from other Marvel stories or newspaper strips. I won't be focusing on them in particular, but just so you know that they're there. Next comes Star Wars from the Adventures of Luke Skywalker, which was obviously the novelization of the film. There are also comics, young readers' books, as well as numerous other versions of this story. During A New Hope, there's also the Tales from the Mos Eisley Cantina short story collection, featuring individual tales of many of the creatures and aliens in and around the Mos Eisley Cantina. These are followed by the first few books in the Galaxy of Fear Young Readers series. This series of 12 books in total is sort of a R.L. Stine horror-like series set in the Star Wars universe, featuring Tosh Aranda, Zach Aranda, and their Shiodo uncle, Mamon Hool. Hool, incidentally, is the in-universe author of the Tatooine chapter of the Illustrated Star Wars universe, as well as the Essential Guide to Alien Species. This is followed by the poorly received Galaxies, The Ruins of Dantooine, which is based on the popular Galaxies online game. That's really all I have to say on that. Dark Horse has a couple of miniseries here in the first year following A New Hope, which include Vader's Quest and River of Chaos. Quest focuses on Vader's search for the pilot that blew up the Death Star. Its four covers can be placed end-to-end to form a mural by artist Dave Gibbons of Watchmen fame. Chaos was a Princess Leia series and also one of the first Dark Horse miniseries. It has yet to be made into a trade paperback. Splinter of the Mind's Eye by Alan Dean Foster is the next in line, featured both as a comic and a book. It holds the distinction of being the first EU story as it was published in 1978. Splinter is followed by Star Wars Allegiance, a tale of core characters, a rogue stormtrooper squadron, and Mara Jade in her role as the Emperor's Hand. We then hit 3 years after A New Hope with the Star Wars Episode V, Empire Strikes Back, and all of its adaptations. Here, since Han was frozen in carbonite in this story, Marvel replaced his character with Lando for the remaining issues before Return of the Jedi. You can find a book of short stories also here called Tales of the Bounty Hunters, as well as the 1996 multimedia extravaganza Shadows of the Empire, which include a novel and a comic series, each telling one part of a larger story. Then, 1 year later in the timeline, is Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. Marvel's adaptation of this fell outside the monthly series and was produced as a four-issue series, instead of the six issues as the previous two films had. Book readers can also find Tales from Jabba's Palace as part of this timeline, completing the trilogy of anthologies. One day after the destruction of Death Star 2 comes the Truce of Bakor, in which our heroes must fight off the invading Siuruk fleet, kind of a pre-Yuuzhan Vong invasion. At the same time is the Bounty Hunter trilogy, which features the story of how Boba Fett escaped from the Sarlacc, and if that wasn't enough for one bounty hunter, he also then goes on to destroy the Bounty Hunters Guild in this uneven trilogy of books featuring the Mandalorian armor, slave ship, and hard merchandise. Dark Horse completes its part of the era with a series of Jabba the Hutt one-shots, a Mara Jade six-issue series, the sequel to Shadows of the Empire called Evolution, which features Guri, Shizor's human replica droid. There was also an immensely popular X-Wing Rogue Squadron comic series, which broke down into approximately 9 story arcs and featured Wedge and his X-Wing squadron fighting the Empire. This series will continue in the next era as a set of novels. Finally, about 5 years after A New Hope is the Jedi Prince series, a young reader series that is about as low on the C-level canonical scale as you can go. It features Luke and a young character named Ken as they battle the Emperor's son, Trioculus. Titles here include The Glove of Darth Vader, The Lost City of the Jedi, Zorba the Hutt's Revenge, Mission from Mount Yoda, Queen of the Empire, and Prophets of the Dark Side. Remember that these are not all that's occurring during this time frame, as there are always other short stories and tidbits that are created for backstory and other mediums. However, this should give you a guide to the major works in place during the Rebellion era.
This is a Forcecast Microcast.
Welcome to Segment 5 in the Intro to the Expanded Universe segments here on the Forcecast. Today's segment covers the New Republic, which takes place after Return of the Jedi to just before the New Jedi Order series. This was the Renaissance period of Star Wars. It was in this era, in 1991, that Lucasfilm allowed Bantam Spectra and Dark Horse Comics to revitalize and reintroduce the expanded universe to Star Wars fans. In fact, this era was mostly fleshed out by those Bantam Spectra books from the 90s. Dark Horse has its solid foothold in the EU here as well. A common question asked among new readers to the EU of these books is, in which novel did Luke fall to the dark side? Well, in fact, it wasn't a novel, but a 6-issue limited series, Dark Empire. One last thing I'd like to point out about this era before we get started. This was the Wild and Woolly expansion era. When these books and comics were being written, there was very little EU to reference, hence the occasional mistake. Plus, it didn't help that the stories were not released in chronological order. Readers had to keep checking to see, okay, Leia's the head of the New Republic? No, wait, not yet. Oh, no, she's retired now. It was all pretty confusing keeping up. I think Timothy Zahn best defined this era. His Thrawn trilogy was the first published books in this era, and the Thrawn duology were the last published books. His ability to capture the spirit of the movies is what made these books successful and what allowed the fledgling EU to flourish. And now, on to the list of titles. After Return of the Jedi and the few books that followed, there comes a brief Boba Fett comic, Twin Engines of Destruction, featuring a showdown between Fett and Jodo Kast, another Mandalorian that often impersonates Fett. You can also check out Kyle Katarn in the Dark Forces Rebel Agent and Dark Forces Jedi Knight graphic story albums from Dark Horse to find more about this ex-smuggler come Jedi. Then begins what I feel is the best series in the EU, the X-Wing series. The first four books are by Michael Stackpole, and they are Rogue Squadron, Wedge's Gamble, The Krytos Trap, and Back to War. This part of the series expands on the 12 pilots of the Rogue Squadron, including Wedge, Tycho, Wes Janson, Hobby, and a bunch of other new pilots. Stackpole, and later Aaron Alston, do an amazing job juggling 12 characters, numerous story arcs, starfighter battles, humor, and intrigue, all within the standard-sized paperback. Stackpole also worked closely with Lucasfilm and Timothy Zahn to help integrate his characters and events into the EU. The two authors even wrote two parts each of a four-part story published in the Star Wars Adventure Journal called Side Trip. Well, the first four X-Wing books took us from year 6 through 8 after Star Wars. The next three books continue into year 8 and are all penned by the equally talented Aaron Alston. They are Wraith Squadron, Iron Fist, and Solo Command. These books introduce Wraith Squadron, a group not as polished as the Rogues, but equally as tough. They're involved in the hunt for Warlord Zinj, a character introduced in the previously published, but next chronological book, The Courtship of Princess Leia by Dave Wolverton. See? Told you it got confusing. Hopefully to readers that can read these books in chronological order now, it will all seem well planned. If only they knew. Next come a pair of recent inserts into the timeline from Del Rey. First, the e-book, A Forest Apart, and then the novel, Tatooine Ghosts, both by Troy Denning. Tatooine Ghosts takes some knowledge from the prequels and applies it to Han and Leia's visit to Tatooine, where Leia learns a little something about her mother. Now, at 9 years after Star Wars, here comes the cornerstone books of the modern EU. These are the books that are a must-read on anyone's syllabus. Timothy Zahn's Thrawn Trilogy. Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, and The Last Command. These novels, plus the trio of Dark Horse miniseries that adapt them, tell the arrival of Grand Admiral Thrawn, a blue-skinned alien who leads the Imperial Remnant in a bid to take back the galaxy from the New Republic. Besides Thrawn, readers were also introduced to Mara Jade, Talon Card, Borsk Felya, Admiral Peleon, the Nogri, Sparty cloning cylinders, Coruscant got its name, and we meet the Mad Jedi clone, Joris Sabaoth. This is followed by Stackpole's last X-Wing novel, Isard's Revenge, which features the return of one of the Rogue's most dangerous enemies. 10 years after Star Wars is Dark Horse's first foray into the EU, with Dark Empire by Tom Veitch and Cam Kennedy. It features the return of the Emperor and Boba Fett, issue number 4 features his surprising return, and Luke's fall to the dark side, so don't say I didn't warn you. Boba Fett returns for a series of one-shots that feature the mysterious bounty hunter, remember this was still before episode 2, who has to work for his living. Bounty on Barcuda, would you believe that his brother's name is Rai Kuda? When the Fat Lady Swings and Murder Most Foul are all drawn by Cam Kennedy and really evoke a great mood, which is perfect for this bounty hunter. This part of the era also finds the Dark Forces Jedi Knight 2 video game add-on Mysteries of the Sith featuring Mara Jade, plus another Boba Fett one-shot, Agent of Doom, written by current legacy author John Ostrander. Finally, Dark Empire 2, the inevitable sequel, expands the comic EU and sets elements in play that would get expanded in the Tales of the Jedi series, published later but chronologically before. This was followed by the two-issue Empire's End, in which the plot lines were quickly wrapped up and the Empire was put back in its box, not to affect other continuity outside of the comics. Crimson Empire came next, a great series that introduced the Crimson Guard, or Emperor's Royal Guard, as we had never seen them before. Here Kanos must deal with the Imperial Ruling Council and Karnor Jax as Jax attempts to take over the universe. This was followed by the Bounty Hunter's Kennex Keel, a one-shot that deals with Kier Kanos' alter ego. Back on the book side of the arena comes I, Jedi, the first and only first-person novel in the Star Wars EU. Michael Stackpole provides some great elements to the EU as he tells tale of Qoran Horn, the Jedi X-Wing pilot, and his attempt to join Luke's Jedi Academy, which was written about previously but occurs chronologically next in the timeline. Kevin J. Anderson's Jedi Academy trilogy, which is made up of Jedi Search, Dark Apprentice, and Champions of the Force, features a whole host of new and potential Jedi's training at Luke's newly formed academy on Yavin 4. Dark Horse presented its own sequel to this series in Jedi Academy Leviathan, which features some existing and other new Jedi on their first mission after graduation, so to speak. 12 years out from Star Wars finds Barbara Hambly's Children of the Jedi, a Luke story in which he discovers the Eye of Palpatine, and Darksaber by Kevin J. Anderson, in which the Hutts create a new weapon from the unused turbo laser core from the prototype Death Star. It's actually a little better than it sounds, folks. Year 13 brings us Aaron Alston's last X-Wing novel, Starfighters of Adumar, and the bizarre Planet of Twilight by Barbara Hambly. These are followed by Vonda McIntyre's The Crystal Star, featuring another plot against the Solo Children, while Luke continues looking for more lost Jedi and runs into the infamous Cult of Waru. Michael P. Cube McDowell then presents the Black Fleet Crisis trilogy, which is made up of Before the Storm, Shield of Lies, and Tyrant's Test. This features the New Republic scoring off against the Yavetha, and Lando and Lobot investigate a mysterious ship that leaps around the galaxy haphazardly. And then it's back to more trouble for the Solos in Christine Catherine Rush's The New Rebellion. 18 years after Star Wars, we get to learn a little bit more about Han's family, especially his crazy cousin Thrak and Sal Solo in the Corellian trilogy, made up of Ambush at Corellia, Assault at Salonia, and Showdown at Centerpoint, all by Roger McBride Allen. Finally, the Bantam Spectra EU entries are wrapped up with a pair of Zahn novels, Spectre of the Past and Vision of the Future, in which Mara and Luke investigate the reported return of Admiral Thrawn. Dark Horse shows us how complex marriages in the GFFA can be 20 years after Star Wars with Union, which ties the knot for Luke and Mara. Zahn then returns a year later with his sequel to Outbound Flight, but these books here were published first. Fool's Bargain, an ebook, and Survivor's Quest focus on Luke and Mara finding Outbound Flight decades later and learning what has become of the inhabitants. Rounding out the era are two series of young reader books. The first for late elementary age kids is called Junior Jedi Knights and consists of 6 books. The Golden Globe, Lyric's World, Promises, Anakin's Quest, Vader's Fortress, and Kenobi's Blade. All these books deal with 11-year-old Anakin Solo and his Jedi training. The second series was the popular Young Jedi Knights books, written by Kevin J. Anderson and his wife Rebecca Moesta Anderson. These books focus on Jason and Jaina Solo at the Jedi Academy. The 14 books are broken into 3 story arcs. The Rise of the Shadow Academy, featuring Heirs to the Force, Shadow Academy, The Lost Ones, Lightsabers, Darkest Night, and Jedi Under Siege. Then, The Fall of the Diversity Alliance, with Shards of Alderaan, Diversity Alliance, Delusions of Grandeur, Jedi Bounty, and The Emperor's Plague. And finally, Under Black Sun, which features Return to Ord Mantell, Trouble on Cloud City, and Crisis at Crystal Reef. Remember that these are not all that's occurring during this time frame, as there are always short stories and other tidbits that are created for backstories and other mediums. However, this should give you a guide to the major works in place during the era.
All new adventures and all new wonders enthrall you in the best-selling Star Wars novels. Follow all the characters you love as the adventures continue. Read a Star Wars novel today. And the Force will be with you.
Welcome to part 6 of our 7-part introduction to the Expanded Universe segments here exclusively on the Forcecast. We are into the home stretch, the New Jedi Order. This is a very exciting era for several reasons. For one thing, it marked the return of Del Rey to the Star Wars publishing arena, at least for novels. All of the classic Star Wars books had been published by Del Rey. Okay, here's your quick history lesson for the day. The original books actually hold the Ballantine Books name on their covers, and all but the first paperback of Star Wars in late 1976 have the Del Rey logos on their inside title page. Later ones actually put it on the spine as well. Del Rey began in 1977 with the Sword of Shannara novel by Terry Brooks as an imprint of Ballantine Books and released all the classic Star Wars novels up through the Lando Calrissian trilogy. Ballantine at this time was owned by Random House. In 1991, when Tim Zahn wrote the Thrawn trilogy, Lucasfilm chose Bantam Spectra to be their publisher. While the occasional Del Rey Star Wars book would come out, it was always either a reprint of one of the classic books, which they owned the publishing rights to, or a specialty book such as Sansweet's Star Wars Encyclopedia. Bantam's contract was up in 1998, and Del Rey won the bid to get back into the publishing of new novels, starting with the Phantom Menace film adaptation by none other than Terry Brooks. They have been the publisher of all novels since then, and will continue to until at least 2008 when their current contract expires. The other exciting aspect of the new Jedi Order era was readers got to experience the books in chronological order. I know, sure, big deal, I hear you say. Well, after 8 years of continuity hopping, this was a big deal. It was a grand plan they had. 5 hardcover novels in 5 years telling the larger story of an invasion of aliens into the universe, the likes that had never been seen before. 14 paperbacks then would fill in the story between the hardcovers, and 3 ebooks then would tie in various ways. It was a risky move. Fans had grown complacent with the expanded universe over the last decade. Del Rey's editors and the authors chosen to write the new Jedi Order had a roundtable meeting, plotted out the 5-year arc, which would occur in a 5-year time span in the Star Wars universe as well, and set to work. Here's where I will issue a warning to all listeners. These books are still relatively recent, and there's some great stuff that happens in them. What I'm about to discuss can be considered spoilers to some who have not yet braved the NJO. This is your last chance to turn off your iPods before I get into these books. Okay, well, welcome to those that stayed. The first book in the NJO is actually the most recent, Boba Fett, A Practical Man by Karen Travis, and it's an e-book that tied into the publication of The Legacy of the Force Bloodlines, but it deals with Fett in the days prior to and just after the Yuuzhan Vong invasion. Okay, with the main New Jedi Order series, according to Del Rey, the story can be gathered by reading just the 5 hardcovers, but for the full scope of the war, readers would want to explore the paperbacks in between. As mentioned before, each hardcover was published approximately a year apart, beginning in 1999 and ending in 2003. The in-universe timeline also followed the same progression, adding to the drama of the series. Now we get into the actual 21 parts of the story. Part 1, Hardcover Number 1, Vector Prime by R.A. Salvatore. The book that shocked the collective fandom and had people talking just as much, if not more, than the release of The Phantom Menace that same year. As most of you know, this is the book that killed Chewbacca. While Salvatore's name is on the cover, he does not and should not be blamed for the death, as the plot point was planned out in advance by the editors at Del Rey. This book introduced the Yuuzhan Vong, who were religious zealots who viewed mechanical technology as blasphemy. Their technological innovations were genetically engineered and purely organic, which gave them a distinct advantage in battle. Additionally, the Vong deeply respected pain to the point of masochism and strove to improve their physical capabilities through organ grafting. They lacked connection to the Force, which gave the Jedi that confronted them a run for their money. Vector Prime also included a map of the galaxy, as would all NJO books, showing the path the Yuuzhan Vong would take. The next pair of books, Dark Tide 1, Onslaught, and Dark Tide 2, Ruin, by Michael Stackpole, brings the action closer to home. It's Lando, Gavin Darklighter, and that's Biggs' cousin. The Solos and the Skywalkers must defend against the new invaders led by Shadow Shai, the Yuuzhan Vong leader. Agents of Chaos 1, Heroes Trial, and Agents of Chaos 2, Jedi Eclipse, both by James Luceno, introduce Droma, a Rin, and continue the devastation as the Vong continue to move deeper into the galaxy, taking Obroa's Sky and other planets. Hardcover number 2, Balance Point, by Kathy Tyre, starts the second year of the Vong invasion. It finds Luke, Leia, Mara, and Anakin all on their own paths and thrust into the face of the Vong invasion of Duros. Meanwhile, Jason tries to come to terms with his new understanding of the Force. This is followed by the ebook number 1, Recovery, by Troy Denning, in which Han races against time to save the woman he loves from certain death. The Edge of Victory duology, Conquest and Rebirth, both by Greg Keyes, introduced the Peace Brigade, a group of Vong sympathizers, as Anakin Solo and Tahiri Vela bust some Vong heads and Mara and Luke await the birth of their son, Ben. Hardcover number 3, Star by Star, by Troy Denning, marks the halfway point of this series and serves as another hard blow for the Republic with the death of Anakin Solo and the invasion of Coruscant. This is followed by Dark Journey by Elaine Cunningham, which focuses on Jaina as she copes with her brother's death and her place in the Force. Enemy Lines 1, Rebel Dream, and Enemy Lines 2, Rebel Stand by Aaron Alston harkens back to the days of the Rebellion as the New Republic is scattered by the fall of Coruscant, while Leia and Han try to round up survivors to confront this apparently unbeatable foe. Traitor by Matthew Stover follows up with Jason, who is alive but being held captive by the Vong and Vergere, who will teach him new and mysterious aspects of the Force. Hardcover number 4, Destiny's Way, by Walter John Williams, begins the unification of the various anti-Vong factions, and Anakin returns with the knowledge that might actually help defeat these invaders. This is followed by eBook 2, Elysia, also by Williams, and deals with Jedi Kip Duron bringing the fight to the Peace Brigade's home base. The Force Heretic Trilogy, Remnant, Refugee, and Reunion, all by Sean Williams and Shane Dix, shows Luke and the Jedi searching for the mysterious sentient world of Zenoma Sekot to help defeat the Vong while Han and Leia work to bring the remains of the Empire into the fight. The Final Prophecy by Greg Keyes features more problems with Zenoma Sekot and Wedge Antilles leading the good fight in the Bill Bringy system. The series then wraps up with hardcover number 5, The Unifying Force, by James Luceno, which changes the nature of the galaxy for good. You're going to have to read that one to find out how it all ends, folks. There are 3 books in the Dark Nest series by Troy Denning that follow the New Jedi Order series. This leads us into the next and final era, the Legacy Era.
What's new in the EU?
Welcome to the last segment in our introduction to the expanded universe. Merriam-Webster defines legacy as something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past, and that's just what we're seeing in these books from Del Rey and the comics from Dark Horse. The themes of family and ancestors are two very prominent elements in this era. The Skywalker line is a proud and diverse lineage, and its history seems entwined, rightly so, with that of the galaxy. The earliest known Skywalker is Shmi Skywalker. Sold into slavery as a young girl, she mysteriously conceived Anakin Skywalker, probably one of the greatest Jedi to ever lived. Anakin, of course, would later fall and become Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith. Anakin and his wife Padme would bring the twins, Luke and Leia, into the galaxy. Their fates were linked with that of their father, and unfortunately it was only by his death that they would be able to live free. Luke and Leia both grew in the Force and started their own families. Leia married Han Solo, and they had twins of their own, Jaina and Jason. They would then have little Anakin, named for his grandfather, a short time later. Luke, meanwhile, stayed the bachelor for a bit longer and finally wed Mara Jade in a most exciting wedding chronicled in Dark Horse's Union. They would have their son during the most tumultuous time of the galaxy, during the Yuuzhan Vong War. Young Ben, named after Luke's mentor and friend, was born 26 and a half years after the Battle of Yavin. As we begin the Legacy of the Force series, he is loosely apprenticed to Jason Solo and struggling, as any 13-year-old does, with his place in the galaxy. Stepping forward an unknown number of years, we can hypothesize that Ben meets up with a nice girl and has at least one offspring. This fourth-generation Skywalker will in turn sire Cole Skywalker, a Jedi who will become a master tactician. Unfortunately, Cole would die too early, 130 years after Yavin, but not before he too would sire a son, Cade Skywalker. Cade is the sixth generation in the Skywalker clan, born 116 years after the Battle of Yavin, and one that would sooner turn his back on his lineage and the Force. The remainder of this episode will focus on the elements of the Legacy of the Force era. As this is still a work in progress, relatively little has been revealed about it. Another unique element of this era is the fact that two parts of the era are both being developed simultaneously in different mediums, the early era in the novels of Del Rey and the later era in the comics of Dark Horse. Both publishing efforts started mid-year of 2006 and are continuing to develop as we speak. Del Rey's Legacy of the Force series is made up of 9 books released in chronological order, very similar to the format of the New Jedi Order books. The first, fifth, and ninth books will be hardcovers, while the remainder are paperbacks. The series is as follows. Betrayal by Aaron Alston, Bloodlines by Karen Travis, Tempest by Troy Denning, Exile by Aaron Alston, Sacrifice by Karen Travis, Inferno by Troy Denning, Fury by Aaron Alston, Revelation by Karen Travis, and Book Number 9, currently untitled, by Troy Denning. These books deal with family, duty, honor, and, as the title of Book Number 1 says, betrayal. There are a lot of events in turmoil in this series, and I would do it a disservice to try to tie it up now for you. On the other end of the era is Legacy, a comic series from Dark Horse written by John Ostrander and Jan Dersima and taking place some 90-plus years after the Del Rey stories. The first arc, Broken, introduces us to Cade Skywalker and his companions, Delia Blue and Jiraiya Sin, pirates and mercenaries for hire. It is set in a time when the Empire has regained power, the Jedi have been nearly wiped out, and the Sith have returned, and without that nasty rule of two. As mentioned earlier, Cade has shunned his Jedi heritage after witnessing his father's slaughter on Ossus at the hands of the Sith. The ghost of his great-great-granddad, Luke Skywalker, even tries to counsel him, but at this point, Cade is too far gone to listen. But probably the most interesting mystery in this era is the identity of Darth Krayt, the head of the new Sith. An older humanoid, he wears a Vonden Crab armor and has a mysterious past that is unknown even to his closest Sith brethren. Fan speculation is running rampant on his identity, which is yet to be revealed, but guesses have gone from Ben Skywalker or Jason Solo to Plif the Hujib. Personally, my money's on Aesherad Het, a native of Tatooine, home of the Krayt Dragon. As with the Legacy of the Force books, Legacy, the comic, still at an early enough stage, new readers can hop on board without fear of having missed too much. The trade paperback and an exclusive Star Wars shop hardcover of Broken is due in early April for people wishing to catch up with the first arc. Well, fellow listeners, this brings us to the end of the introduction to the expanded universe here on the Forcecast. Hopefully, after listening to these 7 segments, strangers of the EU will have a better understanding of it, and you constant readers will have re-experienced some of the more interesting stories we've shared. Thanks for listening to the Expanded Universe Microcast. For TheForce.net and RebelScum.com, I'm Jovial J. Shepherd. If you'd like to contact me, please use the email address podcast@TheForce.net. May the Force be with you.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of TheForce.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.